This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Each Monday at this time, it's our Race for the First series, where we meet one of the many candidates for the wide open seat in New Hampshire's first congressional district. Just for today, though, we're going to head west to the second congressional district. Now, in that race, incumbent Ann McClain Custer, a Democrat, faces no opposition from within her party, but at least three Republicans are vying for the GOP nomination. And we're going to find out more for the next 20 minutes. Helping us out is political reporter Paul Steinhauser. And Paul, it's always really nice to see you. Thank you so much.
It's great to be here. And hey, it's great that we're giving the second district a little bit of love because the first district is capturing so much attention.
Exactly.
The second district gets forgotten sometimes.
Well, that's what we thought we would do. So let's meet these three Republicans first. Paul, just give us a little bio sketch, if you could, of Dr. Stuart Levinson. I think he's been in the longest in this campaign.
Exactly. He was. He jumped in way back on October 3rd. So he's from Hopkinton, which is where Annie Custer, the congresswoman, is from as well. He's a first-time candidate. He spent 18 years working at the VA facility in Manchester. And then about 4 years ago, he was named the medical director for the entire New England region for the VA. He stepped down from that position last July. Most of us got to know him because he was one of the most outspoken and most well-known of the whistleblowers at the Manchester VA. Remember, they stepped forward last year to expose those deficiencies at the facility. He's been extremely critical, as you can imagine, of Congresswoman Custer over that. She sits on the Veterans Affairs Committee in the U.S. House. And he said that, listen, one of the reasons he's running is because of those concerns.
Well, and let's hear him talking about that. This is Dr. Levinson speaking on Fox News. Shortly after President Trump fired VA Secretary David Shulkin, Dr. Levinson said he applauded the move, and then he linked his longstanding concerns, as you said, Paul, about the VA to his own campaign for Congress.
The highest priority is getting back to taking care of veterans. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons I'm running against Ann Custer in the second congressional district. When I first met with her before I went public with the Boston Globe, her response was the VA in Manchester wasn't in her congressional district, which belies the fact of how many thousands of veterans use the VA in Manchester. So she just didn't care what was going on, despite what she'll say in public.
Again, that's Dr. Stuart Levinson. He is running in the second congressional district GOP primary. That's a pretty tough critique there, Paul.
It is a tough critique, and you're going to hear a lot more about this issue, about the VA, throughout this entire campaign. He feels that, he said that you know, him and the other whistleblowers, they expressed their concerns to the VA. They didn't get an answer. They went to the politicians like Custer and the others here in New Hampshire. They didn't get an answer, and that's why eventually they went to the media to leak this out.
Well, as Dr. Levinson's campaign, you know, gears up, as they all will over the summer and into the fall, how does he manage other issues? I mean, veterans issues are only one issue out of a whole panoply. We've got taxes, we've got, you know, deficits, we've got foreign policy, we've got all sorts of stuff that members of Congress deal with. So how does he avoid being a one-trick pony?
Because he's been speaking out. All of these candidates have been going to a lot of forums and other events here in the 2nd District. And we are in the 2nd District here in Concord, by
yes.
the way. Concord, for those of you who are not familiar with it, Concord, Keene, Nashua, it goes all the way from the Massachusetts border all the way up to the Canadian border, as you said, on the western part of the state. So these candidates have been very active. But, Laura, they're not getting a lot of attention, media attention, so it's kind of going on very quietly, the candidate speaking directly to the voters. As for Levinson, he was a blank slate, I guess you could say, a first-time politician. He tends to be conservative when you talk to him. I've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times. He tends to be conservative on the issues. But again, he's been pretty much a blank slate to voters.
Well, and you mentioned conservative, and the second congressional district, from what I understand, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, tends to lean more liberal.
It does. The first district is a classic battleground district, swing district,
almost 50-50. The swingiest of swings.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons it gets so much attention. The second district does tend to lean a little more Democrat than Republican. And, of course, Custer's been in this seat for three terms now. She was first elected in 2012. So, yeah, it's considered a little bit of a more Democratic seat, a little bit safer than the first district.
Yeah, and the Republican who held the seat for a long time, Charlie Bass, also known as a moderate. So, the other candidate, a couple other Republican candidates I want to ask you about,
sure.
And then we will talk about Congresswoman Custer, Paul. Steve Negrin, he's a Republican state representative, so just give us a little sense of who he is.
He jumped in just a few weeks after after Levinson did back on October 16th. He was in the U.S. Air Force for a long time, retired as a major. He was one of those kind of guys that used to sit in those missile silos. He was an ICBM missile combat crew member.
Wow.
Yeah. And after that, he spent many years in the private defense industry, first as a program manager for Lockheed Martin, their mission systems. He was also at General Dynamics. Then he opened up his own company, the CEO. He's now the CEO of Integron LLC. It's a Nashua-based engineering firm. He's also a state house representative from Nashua. He was elected in 2016. That was his first run for elective office. He was on the House Election Law Committee, still is, and he was a supporter of SB 3, Senate Bill 3, which we've spent a lot of time talking about on this program.
So that was one of the voting rules and so forth.
Citing the voting rules here in New Hampshire, exactly. And it was signed into law last year by Governor Sununu. So he does have a little bit of a voting record since he's been in the State House for 2 years.
So let's hear a little bit from Steve Negrin. This is from his announcement speech where he said that his party needs to nominate a candidate who, in his words, doesn't just go along.
We need to boldly proclaim our vision for our state. We need to go boldly forth under this banner of liberty that clutches the Constitution in one hand and the Bill of Rights in the other. Washington is horribly broken. I agree with Senator Rand Paul when he said, I fear it can't be fixed from within. We the people must rise up and demand action.
So again, that's Republican Representative Steve Negrin, also a candidate for the GOP nomination in the 2nd Congressional District. So Paul aligning himself with the Rand Paul wing of the party, the Libertarian wing.
Yep, and that is a little more of his flavor, I guess you could say. I wouldn't say he's the most conservative in the race, and he's definitely not the most, probably the one who's the most, the biggest fan of Donald Trump when it comes to this, when it comes to the race. You know, this is the dynamic in the 2nd District, as you said. It's the overall, the district leans a little more Democrat than the first district. But remember, this is a Republican primary we're talking about. So the dynamic here is, to appease the more conservative base voters. And remember, there's some big population areas like Salem, like some of the suburbs of Nashua, Merrimack, some of the other Amherst. These are very conservative towns. These are very conservative towns with a lot of Republican voters. They're all in the second district. So, yes, there are a lot of liberal areas like Keene, like the Upper Valley here in Concord. Sure, as you go up to Grafton County and parts of Coos, but there are some conservative bastions in this district, and that's where these Republicans are going to be spending a lot of time trying to get votes.
Well, and that's an interesting point, and I'm glad you made it, because we look at the district's overall profile, and we say, yeah, look at these big liberal, you know, sort of bastions like Concord and Keene and Hanover, but there are other parts that lean more conservative, and I wonder how you hear these GOP candidates who, as you rightly point out, are vying in a primary. How are they talking about their relationship with the president?
You know, some are very outspoken in their support. Like in the first district, you'll ask Andy Sanborn, and he's a big Donald Trump fan. Others are a little more, they try to kind of be delicate about this and dance the dance, you know, not go out publicly and criticize the president, but at the same time try to kind of avoid talking about Donald Trump.
Again, that's New Hampshire politics reporter, former CNN political reporter Paul Steinhauser. We're taking just a quick break from our Race for the First series today in The Exchange, which we normally have during this time each Monday, to take a little trip over to the 2nd District and see what's happening in the Republican primary race there. Let's get your questions in, especially if you're a 2nd District voter. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. One more candidate we should talk about, Paul, again, in the Republican primary, Lynn Blankenbecker. And what can you tell us about her?
She jumped in January, and I thought when she jumped in, this would really change the complexion of the race, because she's a fascinating woman with a fascinating resume. 3 decades in the military, first as an active-duty Air Force nurse. She was deployed in Oman and Kuwait during Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Then she went over to the Navy side, and she was also stationed at Bethesda Naval Medical Center in Maryland. She was a combat nurse when she was in the Navy as well, stationed in Afghanistan. So, I mean, she's got quite a record there. She was also a state representative from Concord, a conservative who was elected not once but twice in Concord. So she's got a fascinating resume. She's also a woman. And I think, you know, there are not a lot of Republican women running for Congress. He's the only one in the second, right? Or only one in the first. So it is interesting. It is interesting. When she jumped in back in January, I thought she would really, you know, explode. It would really gather a lot of steam. Her campaign is doing well, but she hasn't really grabbed that much attention yet. Nobody in the second district, though, has grabbed a lot of attention. But Lynn Blankenbecker also currently remains in the military. She's in the reserves. About 1 week and a month, she goes out to San Diego, and she's in charge of about a 600-member medical unit in San Diego for the Navy.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's hear a little bit from Lynn Blankenbecker. This is at her campaign kickoff, as you said, Paul, in January.
I'm about the people. I'm out there. You know, I intend to get out into the district and get to know everybody, get to know the people I represent, and I will take that back to Congress.
Again, that's Lynn Blankenbecker at her campaign kickoff in January. We're looking at the second congressional district race during this segment of The Exchange. Paul Steinhauser is helping us out, and let's hear from you. You can send us a question by email, exchange@nhpr.org, exchange@nhpr.org, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. So, Paul, we talked a little bit about Dr. Stuart Levinson, Representative Steve Negrin, former Representative Lynn Blankenbecker. Who else? Anybody else out there on the GOP side?
There's one more who may jump in. And I wrote about this just about a week ago for the Concord Monitor. Bob Burns from Bedford. And this is interesting because Bedford actually is not in the second district. It's just over the border in the first district. That
right.
is legal. Remember, we talked about this when Levy Sanders jumped into the first district race.
Even though he lives in Claremont, which is in the second district.
Which is way far from the first. This is
At least Bedford's close.
Yeah, it's exactly. Only a few miles away. You're allowed to. The Constitution of the United States says you only have to live in the state you live in. It is rare, but you're allowed. So if Burns did jump in, he'd make a little news there. Who is he? He was born in Nashua, grew up in Bedford. He's a former Hillsborough County Treasurer. He ran for the Executive Council seat in District 4, which is the one that Chris Pappas has. He lost to Pappas in 12 and then narrowly lost again in 14 when it was a rematch. That's the Manchester area Executive Council seat. He's also a big fan of Donald Trump. He was a strong supporter of Trump's presidential campaign and was chair of the National Campaign's Youth Coalition. And he was a delegate to the convention in Cleveland. Here's what was fascinating. When I spoke to him, he was so open about this. He said, listen, it looks great for me. Nobody's raising money. Nobody has any name ID. Those are things you don't normally hear a candidate say about his opponents, maybe an operative. He said, I probably wouldn't be considering this if my internal polling didn't show that I'm doing really well. Again, candidates don't talk about their internal polling to reporters, so it was a little interesting that he said that. But he makes a point that right now in the second, none of the other three candidates are really knocking it out of the park, right? None of them raised a heck of a lot of money. None of them have a lot of name recognition. If you look at the polls, it indicates that most voters in the second don't know who these candidates are. So Burns, maybe he'll jump in. Maybe we'll get four. He's started up an exploratory committee. He's got a couple more weeks until filing period to make it official.
But he lives in the first district,
mm-hmm.
as you pointed out.
Yep.
There's not a very crowded Republican primary in the first district. So why doesn't he just jump in there? I mean, that's where he lives.
He does live there, but he's, like he said, he spent a lot of time working in the second district, Hillsborough County. So that's where he feels, you know, that's where he feels his turf is. He also pointed out that he went to school in Keene, which is obviously very much in the second.
All right. Well, we'll keep tabs on that and see what happens with Burns jumping in. What do we know at this point, Paul, about second district voter enthusiasm for the current Congresswoman, Ann McClain Custer?
Yeah, that's a great point because Annie Custer, when it comes to campaign fundraising, her figures are amazing. She is a fundraising machine. She's already raised, what, $2.1 million this cycle, $2.6 million cash on hand, far, far ahead of all of her Republican opponents. But when you look at the other numbers, the polling numbers, they're nothing to really brag about. Custer's numbers are okay. If we just had two recent polls came out, one from St. Anselm College, her approval was 33% approval, 24% disapproval. Okay, nothing great.
33% doesn't sound great.
Yeah, well, again, a lot of people still, and this is the thing, a lot of people don't know the people on the Republican side who are running to, but they don't even know Custer that well. Her favorability, slightly above water in the St. A's poll, 45-42, but underwater in the UNH poll, 27-33. So, you know, she's been there since 2012. She's been in the Congress for three terms now, but her numbers aren't exciting. That, you know, they're not popping. Another interesting number from the St. A's poll, just so quickly, 32% said she was doing a good enough job to deserve re-election. 45% said it was time to give somebody else a new chance. That's not a great number for an incumbent.
So is that voter fatigue? I mean, what is that, Paul?
I think it's just lack of interest right now, and also just people are really not clued into this campaign right now. Those numbers will change. I always say this about polls. Polls are a perception of how people feel right now. Well, right now, other than you and I and a few others who were talking about the second district, most voters aren't clued into the second district. So these numbers will change. And Custer has had this problem in the past. She raises a lot of money, but the poll numbers are never that outstanding, but she keeps winning re-election.
So NHPR's Casey McDermott reported on the financing of these campaigns.
Great
in
job
the second district. Yeah, so listeners can check that out on our website for sure, NHPR.org, to look more at the money, who's getting it, who isn't, and where it's coming from, Paul.
And Casey made a good point in her article that, you know, of the $2.1 million that Custer has brought in, about $700,000 of that is from PACs and other outside organizations, which is legal. But and she also has a very good breakdown of where the money is coming. Plus, a lot of the money that Custer has raised is coming from outside the state. That's a huge point in the first district battle when you look at Maura Sullivan, who a lot of people call us carpetbagger. But again, it's legal. It happens all the time. Governor Hassan, when she ran for the Senate 2 years ago, a lot of that money came from out of state. But it's something to look at. Great article from Casey.
Well, and also from Casey's piece, I learned that two of the Republicans in this GOP second district primary are self-financing their campaigns. So that seems to be a trend.
Right. Negrin's doing that, and Levinson both have put a lot of money in. And you're seeing that in the first as well. Andy Sanborn in the first has put a lot of his own money into the race. Again, you're allowed to do that. Donald Trump put some of his own money, didn't he? And he's got a couple bucks into his race for president in 2016. Interesting dynamic. People talk about it. It's, you know, when it comes to campaign cash, everybody's looking for that gotcha number. So,
well, and so whet our appetites, Paul, please, for next Monday when we do check back and we do continue our race for the first series about the first congressional district. There's been some news there, some possibly more candidates.
You know, this is the craziest race in the country, and it got crazier. A large field got even larger. We're now up to, nine Democrats, because just the other day, somebody jumped into the race. Her name is Naomi Andrews. And if you don't know her, she was Carol Shea Porter, the incumbent who's retiring. She's been her chief of staff for a couple years and has been a top aide for Shea Porter for over a decade. She's also run two of Shea Porter's re-election campaigns.
So presumably knows the district pretty well.
Pretty darn well, right? And she mentioned that and pointed that out in her video when she jumped in. She's from Epping. She talked about that. Also talked about her humble backgrounds, being the first of her family to go to college. She's in on the Republican side. A guy called Bruce Crocetteri, a Republican, just jumped into the race from Hampton Falls, a high-tech executive with a lot of money.
All right. Well, our race for the first series will continue next Monday at this time. Our candidate will be Democrat Lincoln Soldati. And check out the entire series on our website, nhpr.org/exchange. For candidates who've already been on our series and who are scheduled for the weeks ahead, again, it's nhpr.org/exchange. And Paul, as you're telling me, the series is going to go on for a while. We've got a lot of people to talk to.
They keep jumping in.
Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Laura.
That's Paul Steinhauser, New Hampshire politics reporter, former CNN political reporter. Remember, our conversation always continues online, on Facebook, and on nhpr.org. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Jessica Hunt and Christina Phillips. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Canoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.